can only imagine. There's a lot of things when we read the Bible and we think about and anticipate the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ in this world that we live in. Should be our prayer even day, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. This world is waxing worse and worse, little by little. And if you have any children, young age, they want to go to children's church, you're welcome to head that way. All the groups headed over to the other side. And you think about the Lord's return, the Bible simply says he's going to come as a thief in the night. I'm going to read one verse for our text verse here, but we're going to look at some things here in 2 Peter chapter 3. And, you know, this is a great book tucked in here, 1st and 2nd Peter. 2nd Peter here really just talks about the Bible, the exaltation of the Scriptures, and how important the Bible, the Word of God, is in chapter 1. Getting on into chapter 2, it gives us warnings about false teachers and how much you and I should be on guard and caution and watch for. And there are false teachers. The Bible calls them apostate teachers. Teachers that don't teach and preach the truth of the Word of God. The other day, I had a, you know, you don't do this, I'm sure, at your house, but I flip TV channels. I'm guilty. So I do the same. So I was flipping it. And the one of them had talked about the apocalypse, or the end of the world, and what their view was on the end of the world. So I thought, well, this would be interesting. I'll see what it's really about. And I kind of watched it for a minute. I wasn't into it 4 or 5 minutes. And I thought, they got so much false doctrine in here. I just cranked it off and went right on by it. So you got to be careful. So hitting the airwaves, hitting the TV, on the radio, you will run into things that do not teach biblical truth. The main thing that you and I can do is stay in the Bible, read the Word of God, and let the Bible teach us the truth of God's Word on Bible doctrine. And you want to know about the end of the world? Don't get it off the TV. Get it off out of the Word of God. Get it out of the Bible. And so the Bible here, Peter gives us a little bit of instruction about apostate teachers, about false teachers in the during the Church of Jesus Christ. And then a little bit as we get into chapter 3 here today on the second coming of Christ, and the Bible talks about the day of the Lord, the day of Jehovah. But here's our text verse. I want to read our text verse in verse 18. And then we're going to go back and read the main part here of what Peter's kind of putting together here. The Bible says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Let's read that again. "But grow in grace." I titled the message today, Growing in Grace. And then it goes on to say here, "And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to him be glory both now and forever." It's kind of like a concluding verse. It's like a summary verse. It's like after all that Peter was teaching here, he wraps it all up in this simple comment of growing grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? What does it mean exactly in the Bible when it says you and I are to grow in grace? To grow in grace simply means that you and I are to mature in our faith. We're to grow in our Christian faith. We're to grow in the Lord. And God is maturing us and growing us day by day. So when it talks about growing in grace, it's the work that God is doing through grace in our hearts and our lives. So we're saved by grace. We know that through faith. Ephesians 2:8 makes that very plain. Ephesians 2:8 and verse 9. And we mature and then are sanctified by grace alone. So we know that grace is a blessing that we don't deserve. If you really think about it, we don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve eternal life. We don't deserve the opportunity to go to heaven. You and I are sinners. The Bible is very clear. There are none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3:10. The Bible is also very clear in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if you look at the human race, the human nature, we are sinners by nature, by what we inherited through Adam. But we're also sinners by choice, by what we choose in our life. And so for sure, we don't deserve God's saving grace. We know that grace is a blessing that we don't deserve. It is God's grace, we know, that justifies us, it sanctifies us, and eventually here in the Bible, it will glorify us as we get to heaven to be with the Lord. That really is a process of what we know in the Bible as the sanctification process. You and I, when we get saved, we're on this journey of grace. We're on this growth of sanctification, of growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You should always be wanting to push forward, always wanting to learn more, always wanting to see what God is doing in our hearts and our lives as He grows us together in Christ Jesus. Don't get content just being the same person who you are day in and day out or last year. You want to be able to move on and to grow in grace in what God is at work in our hearts and in our lives. Talks about here in the Bible of growing in that grace. And so this sanctification process is becoming more like Christ. It's really what it's about. Growing in grace is becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's synonymous here, sanctification with growing in grace. Now look here, if you will, this great chapter on 2 Peter 3. Because in this great chapter in 2 Peter 3, a few things you need to keep in mind. Why would Peter put a summary verse at the end of chapter 3? And what was he talking about ahead of this summary verse? Look at it in verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3. Here he's talking about the return of the Lord and the day of the Lord. Notice what he says. This second epistle, Peter says, "Beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets," that's the Old Testament prophets, "and the commandment of the apostles of the Lord and Savior." And so we find here that stirring up our minds and our remembrances, it's important what the Old Testament prophets had to say. It's important what the apostles had to say and to teach. And here Peter's saying, "I stir up your minds," those words that were spoken by those that come before us. Then in verse 3, "knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers and walking after their own lusts." We'll come back to that in a moment. So verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3, here Peter opens the chapter up talking about the return of the Lord and the day of the Lord. What is the day of the Lord? I'll never forget a few years ago after a morning service, a lady cornered me out here in the foyer. She said, "What exactly?" She said, "I'm reading through my Bible and studying my Bible, and I see this term all the time, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord." So he's talking about the day of the Lord. What does that mean? And so when you look at it, it really means the end time events. It really means as God brings everything to a head in the end times and the time of judgment. So when it's talking about the day of the Lord, it's really a series of events that's going to take place. We know the next event on God's calendar to take place is the rapture. He's coming back, and one day soon. There's nothing else. All Scripture has been fulfilled. All prophecy has been fulfilled, and we are now ripe and ready. The Church of Jesus Christ is ready for the rapture of the church, the believers of the church. Now, this church has always taught in all of its history, I believe it since the day I got saved, on a pre-tribulation rapture. By that meaning that we believe the rapture is coming first, that the believer, the church of Jesus Christ, God is going to snatch the church away, take the believers away. He's going to come, and as a thief in the night, he's going to take away the church of Jesus Christ. That'll be something you and I look forward to. We anticipate, we pray for, we long for. The church is going to be gone. The church is not going to go through the tribulation, the great tribulation period. I know there are some theologically and some doctrinally that believe that the church is going to go through some of the tribulation. They call that mid-trib. There are some that believe it's post-tribulation, that the church will go through the great tribulation period. But I can see in the Bible clearly from Revelation 3, Revelation 4, and other places in the Bible, 1 Thessalonians 4, the church will not be here during the great tribulation time. So if you're here during the great tribulation time and you come to church at First Baptist Church on Canton, don't be surprised if everybody is gone. They're all gone. They're out of here. And if you're sitting here in church that day and there's one or two or three or four of you here, then you need to check your salvation in Christ. Because if you're saved by the blood atonement of Christ and know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to be raptured out. You're going to be snatched away. You're going to be taken away. I don't know about you, but it'll beat anything Cedar Point's got to offer on that day. I'm looking forward to that day when the rapture takes place. And so after the rapture, then, we'll begin on the day of the Lord a great tribulation period like the world has never seen. Tell you what, this world has seen some pretty catastrophic things take place. I mean, it's a tragedy. You look out right now and you see all the rain out through Iowa and the fields of Nebraska and the waters. You see the hurricanes come in. You see the earthquakes take place. All this that we see here unfold now is nothing compared to what we're going to see during the Great Tribulation period. That is a seven-year period of time that God will deal. The day of the Lord, quote unquote, the day of the Lord, begins that rapture, begins the unfolding of God dealing in the Great Tribulation, dealing with the nation of Israel, and dealing with his judgment here upon the earth, and to deal with sin and evil. And then we find at the close of the Great Tribulation period will come at that time will be the marriage supper of the Lamb will come. It all unfolds in Revelation 19 and chapter 20, chapter 21 will unfold the end time events, and Christ will come back the second time in glory. So when it talks about the day of the Lord, it talks about in Revelation 19, the marriage of the Lamb, and then the second coming of Christ. Don't confuse the second coming of Christ with the rapture. He's coming in two different events. He's coming in the rapture to snatch away the church, to take away the believers, to remove the church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, before the Great Tribulation period. He is the bridegroom. He's going to remove his church from the judgment that's getting ready to come. But he will come back after the marriage supper of the Lamb, and to come back and the coming of Christ. And he will come riding on a white horse, and we will come with him. It says, "And I saw heaven and open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True in Righteousness, and he doth judge and make war." So it's all coming back, and it'll lead into, after that, the battle of Armageddon, the last great battle ever to take place. It'll be God against Satan. It'll be right against wrong. It'll be good against evil. And it all comes to head in the Valley of Megiddo at the Battle of Armageddon. Revelation 19 and verse 17, verse 18, verse 19. I love what he does then. He takes the doom of the beast, the false prophet, Satan, and he casts the beast and the false prophet in the pits of hell. Go ahead and read it. It's in Revelation 19 when you get a moment. And then he takes Satan and bounds him for a short time. During the millennium, for 1,000 years, Satan is bound, and then after that 1,000 year, he is released for a short time to come and make his one last stand here on this earth. But God then will deal with him in judgment. He will be cast into the lake of fire to suffer eternal damnation in hell forever and forever. So when we talk about here in the Bible, the day of the Lord, is these end time events, this judgment that is coming. Talks about the judgment seat of Christ for the believer. It talks about in Revelation the great white throne judgment to judge all the non-believing world that does not believe in God, does not believe in Jesus Christ. And there are many that do not believe in God. Not everybody believes in God, the Jehovah God that you and I know today. Not everybody believes him. So the great white throne judgment is reserved for just that, to judge the unbelieving world. So we find here in this great text here in Peter, then he talks about here that this return of the Lord in 2 Peter, if you look at it in chapter 3 there, is really not believed. Many do not believe this. And Peter talks about that. Notice what he says in 2 Peter 3. He says, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Or since the fathers fell asleep, which means they died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. You know, it's kind of like he starts out with a question mark here. Where's the promise of his coming? You've been saying he's coming, and we've been saying in the church age for all these years, he's coming, and here it is 2,000 plus years later, and he still hasn't come. Just hang on, my friend, not all things. All things, as you see right now, will not remain the same. Things will be different. You and I need to be prepared for that hour. And Peter goes on to say here in verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, and whereby the world then that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. That's the flood. But the heavens, notice this now, the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against that day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So, this world will be destroyed, there it is in the Bible, very clearly, by fire. That will be the cleansing. That'll be a judgment. That'll be in the day of the Lord. God cleanses this world, and he does so not by a flood, not by water, but he does it by fire. says here then in verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So don't be worried about that. 2,000 years, when's he going to come? He's coming. Just wait, and he's coming. Just rest assured. Don't be disappointed. Main thing is that we live every day anticipating his soon return. We live every day looking for his soon return. Whatever you're going to do this week, every day, just do it diligently as unto the Lord. You don't know when he is coming back. So your loved ones, make sure you tell them you love them. You know, you never know. On a given day, when you say goodbye to somebody, that might be the last time you'll ever see them. Don't take that for granted. He is coming back. He promises that he is coming back. In verse 9, the Lord is not slack. Notice that now, concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So what is he waiting for? Why is he waiting to come back? Why is the return of the Lord taking so long? He's waiting on that last person to get saved. He's waiting on that last person to come to know Jesus Christ. Oh, when is that? None of us know. We just know what time we have. We need to be diligent in getting the gospel to every possible person that we possibly can. And one day, time will change and will be no more as you and I know it. So whenever that last person gets saved, when is that? I don't know. God only knows. And so we find here the return here. God is not slack concerning that promise. Now notice in verse 10 here, the day of the Lord. But the day of the Lord, here's that phrase now, will come, here it is now, as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and elements shall melt with fervent heat. Talking about the judgment time, the great tribulation, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up, seeing then that that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conversation and godliness? Notice this now in verse 12. Looking for his coming, looking for the day of the Lord, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens are being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace and without spot and blameless, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. The main thing is the main thing. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is always in the Bible about salvation. The main thing is always getting the gospel so somebody else can hear it and be saved. That's the main thing. It's not all the other stuff that you want to talk about. It's salvation. It says here, even as our beloved brother Paul also according to the wisdom given unto him both hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Yea, therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Now, here's our text verse. So here's what he's saying. And all that, talking about the day of the Lord, talking about the return of Christ, talking about the rapture, talking about the great tribulation, talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb, talking about the second coming of Christ, and all these things, and the judgment coming, the earth being destroyed, grow in grace. Grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It should not come as a surprise to the church and to the believer when he comes back. We just need to be prepared, be looking, anticipate, be waiting on, praying for, asking God for, Lord, it's time. When is the time? Will you come? And we ought to look forward to that. So we are to grow in grace. And how do we do that? By reading God's Word and by letting the Word of God, the Bible says in Colossians 3:16, dwell in us richly. And praying as we grow in grace. And so those actions alone, they just reading the Bible and praying, it's not the only thing that helps us to grow in grace. But God uses these spiritual disciplines, if you will, reading your Bible, staying in your Word of God, praying in the Christian life, doing things. There are certain spiritual disciplines that we ought to do that will help us to grow in this grace. But it's not the only thing. And therefore, maturing in our Christian life is not about what we, quote, do, but about what God does in us by his grace. Don't miss that. Let me say that again. The maturing in our Christian life is not always about something that we do, quote, unquote, do, but it is simply about what God is doing in us by His grace. And you know, God is at work. And sometimes there's all kinds of experiences in life that we go through. Some are good, some are difficult, some are valleys, some are mountaintops, some are times of discouragement or despair. God is growing us in grace. That's why we go through so many different things in the Christian life. You are growing in grace. The only encouragement I could give you, whatever you do, don't give up and don't quit. Don't give up and don't quit. Don't quit on God. Don't quit on the Bible. Don't quit on prayer. Don't quit on the spiritual disciplines of the Christian life. They are part of what helps you and I to grow in grace. But God has a plan for your life. God is at work in every life here. We need to be sensitive to that. We need to be aware of that. We need to be aware of the Holy Spirit's presence and power. And so as He's working on us, day by day, He is growing us in grace. And so understanding and applying God's grace in our lives is absolutely important. And we're not to impair that grace and growing in grace by being proud or being lifted up in pride, or because God says that He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So we need to remain humble as God is working on us in the process. Grace is that attribute of God that enables us to break free of our sinful nature and to follow Him. That's what grace really is. If it was not for God's grace, you and I could not break through or break away from whatever the sin is or whatever it is that's affecting our lives. But by the grace of God, we are only able to do that. So it's through God's grace it gives us strength. It's through God's grace that protects us. It's without God's grace, without God's favor, we would be hopelessly lost in this world. So the more grace we have and ask God for, the more mature as Christians we will be. Don't settle for being babes in Christ, mature, and allow God. And sometimes, you know, it's not easy to understand. It's not easy to figure out. And you know God's up to something. I like Brother Jack McMaster, a good friend of mine that pastored up in Linden, Michigan for years and went to college with Jack back in the early 70s. And Jack's comment always was, Rick, just find out what side God's on and get there as quick as you can and stay there until God goes somewhere else. And then where you just find God and stay with Him. Don't give up on Him. Get on the Lord's side, whatever that is. Whatever you're going through, whatever the struggle, seek out God's wisdom and God and your prayer life and His grace and mercy and kind. God wants the best for you and I. But sometimes the best for you and I might be putting us through something that we don't exactly like, or that we don't exactly maybe feel always good about. I always kind of wonder when you're getting pinched on, stepped on, squeezed, or whatever. God, okay, what is going on? God, I don't know. I can't see the way clearly right now, but I'm going to love You anyway. I'm going to serve You anyway, and I'm going to wait. And sometimes you get a little bit farther down the road, and you look back, and you see God's grace. You say, I got it. Now I understand what it is that I'm going through and why that I was able to go through that. So to grow in grace does not mean gaining more grace from God. When you think about it here, the more grace we have or ask God for, the more mature as Christians will be. But God's grace never increases. God's grace is always infinite. And by that, it cannot be more. According to the nature of God, it could never be less. And so when you and I are saved by grace through faith in Christ, Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, when you get God, you get all of God. You just don't get a little bit of it, you get all of it. And for by grace are you saved through faith in Christ. And so when you and I are saved, and by that grace, God has a plan and a purpose in our life. We just need to submit to Him and be open to Him and follow Him and trust Him and know that God knows what He's doing, and we just need to trust Him to move forward. God gave His only begotten Son so that whoever believes in Him should be saved, John 3:16. So how much more grace could there possibly be than that in John 3:16? But to grow in grace is to grow in our understanding of what Jesus did and to grow in our appreciation and the grace that we have been given. You know, it's interesting when you look at Solomon's life. When he gets down to the end of life, when he looks back, and Solomon went through a lot of experiences, had a lot of knowledge, had a lot of understanding, king in Israel and all that, got all down to the end of life. And you know what he said? It's all vanity. It's all vexation of spirit. It's all for naught. Really, the only thing that really matters in this life is our love for God and our relationship with Him. And secondly, the only thing that really matters is your family that you have been given. The only thing you're going to be able to take to heaven with you is your family. friends, family, those that know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So everything else, sometimes we spend a lot of time and a lot of energy focused on a lot of different things here on this earth. And I think when we get down to the concluding end of it, we'll be like Solomon. It's all vanity. It's all vexation of spirit. So when you look at it, keep the important thing the important thing. And so to grow in grace is to grow in our understanding of what Jesus did and to grow in our appreciation of the grace that has been given to you and I. The more we learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we will appreciate all that He has done, the more we will appreciate His love and His sacrifice for us, and the more we'll perceive that never-ending grace of God that He bestows upon us. So Peter also confirms that we need to grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus and to have that intimate relationship with Him, because the more we know of Him, the more of Him will be seen in our lives. God is molding us through His grace into the image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3 makes it very clear. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Colossians 3, verse 1 to verse 4. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. So the Bible contains all the knowledge we'll ever need to learn of God, the Son, the Holy Spirit, at least in this life. We just need to stay in the Word. God's desire is for those that He has saved is their sanctification and their transformation. God wants us to become more holy and like Himself. Being formed in the image and likeness of God. And the way to do this is by meditating on the Word of God, by applying the principles of the Word of God to our lives so we can yield to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within you and I. Fall in love with the Word of God. And then we will prove, 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same things from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Just a few thoughts, and before we close today, go back to verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3 here in our text in 2 Peter. When Peter writes this epistle to believers, he stirs up their minds by remembrance, and be mindful of the words which were spoken by the prophets of old. Be mindful, he says in verse 1, 2, and 3, of the commandments that were given to you and I by the apostles. Knowing this first, that in the last days scoffers will come. You know what scoffers are? They will come in their own lust. Scoffers is someone who jeers or mocks or treats something with contempt. There are many today that are disagreeable with the day of the Lord. And so walking in their own lust, each has their own agenda. Each is very selfish. Every man does that which is really right in his own eyes, so be careful. He says here, the return of the Lord and the day of the Lord, knowing for this verse, there shall be scoffers in the last days. And boy, there sure are. And verse 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 here in these verses, in verse 4 to 9, says here, the return of the Lord is generally going to be disbelieved. I even wonder if we know that. We know what the Bible teaches, but do we really, really believe it? The day of the Lord means the rule of God, the day of the ultimate judgment, the day of Yahweh, the day of Christ's return to glory here on this earth. And so where's the promise of His coming? And since many has died before, they all talk about His coming, but where's He at? And because all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation, many are ignorant of the Word of God. If you know your Bible, that's the best thing, you know, for you to stand against apostate teaching, to stand against false teaching, to understand really what's the process. Just read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, know what the Bible says. The Bible, God's Word, is the truth. It is Holy Spirit given to you by the Spirit of God. And so we find here that it comes. Just as the flood came when no one believed it, so will the end come. Verse 7, so as by fire. The ungodly will be judged and held accountable. And beloved, notice that word beloved in verse 8, he says, is referring to the Christian. Christian, don't be ignorant, he says here, of these same things. The day of the Lord is one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So don't be like the unbelieving world. We've been given more knowledge in that and more that we can bear aware of. God is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. He is long-suffering. God is patient. He desires that no one perish. And God desires that all people come to repentance. So that's why He admonishes us here to a growing grace. And again, He tells us that all things will be burned up by fire. And that, you know, fire just has a way, it's really in a way a cleansing agent. Just like the flood was a cleansing, a fire. When you get something and burn it, it all disappears. It's like a cleansing. God is going to cleanse this earth, not like he did with the flood, but as by fire. Everything will be dissolved, so they'll be holy in conversation, and so we'll live in all godliness. Looking for, what are you and I looking for? Many of you are looking for maybe other things through the week. What are we really? Whatever you're going to do this week, be looking for the return of the Lord Jesus. We hasten, we look forward to the coming of the day of the Lord. The heavens shall be on fire and dissolved. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, he says, we look for a new heaven and a new earth and where righteousness dwells. I don't know about you, but sometimes, do you ever feel like some days there's just like, God, I've just had my fill of sin in this world, evil in this world, corruptness in this world, the lostness in this world, and the curse that was put on man. Some days can just be overwhelming. You look at it and you say, I'm just talking about the world in which we live, and can just some days be like, can it get any worse? Every time I say that, I think, well, yes, it can. And it can get worse from here. So we need to be careful and keep our eyes on him for coming, and we are to look for such things, be diligent that we may be found in peace and without spot and without blame. And so the long suffering of God, God is waiting for people to be saved. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you haven't not yet believed in him, you don't have a day of your salvation that you can look back to, then my friend, today you need to be saved and trust Christ and to realize that God is waiting for you to be saved. God is waiting for you to repent of your sin, to ask forgiveness in your heart, and to ask Jesus to come into your life and to give you the promise and the hope of eternal life. The long suffering of God. In verse 16, you know, some things in the Bible are hard to be understand. I get that. I understand that. I don't have the answers for all things. I've studied this Bible since the day I got saved. There's still many days I have questions. I don't understand or understand this or that or whatever, but you read it and you try to figure it out. And, you know, don't try to read between the lines. Don't put something in there that's not in there. You got to go with what God gave. God gave us exactly what he wanted us to have. No more, no less. So don't fall away. Be steadfast, he says. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of God and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that in all things we can glorify God both now and forever. He's coming back, my friend. If he came and told us he's coming, what would you do? Would you say, well, Lord, give me two more days and I'll be ready? Doesn't work that way. Whatever at this time, come quickly should be our prayer. Peter chapter 3. And how encouraged that we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So God, we surrender to you afresh and anew. God, if there's one here that's not saved, they've not yet opened their heart, they've not yet believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection. John made it very clear in John chapter 3, we must be born of the water, our physical birth, but we also must have a spiritual birth, born of the Spirit of God. And each one of us should take inventory today and know and understand what day, when was it in our life, in my life, that I had a spiritual decision to make and ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart and my life. And God, if there's anybody here today that cannot clearly identify a day when then in their life they were born of the Spirit of God, I pray that they would do so today in obedience to the command of Scripture. May they just come today and say, God, I repent of my sin. I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart and just, I give you my heart and my life, and I believe in you as my Lord and as my Savior. So God, today, help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And God, we know you're at work in our hearts already. Each one of us, when we came through the door this morning, you are at work in our hearts, in our lives. May we submit ourselves to ye will today. James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So, God, today, we submit to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand together, if you will, as Brother Ron leads us in a verse of invitation today, my friend. Try to make it very clear if you're here and you're not sure. You have a spiritual birthday. You've never been born by the Spirit of God. That's the most important decision you can make right there. You say, well, what do I do? Just come forward and meet me here at the front. We'll take a Bible and show you how to open your heart and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Do you have a spiritual birth? You've been born of the water. Have you been born of the Spirit? And then by all means, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus, Brother Ron.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Do you know him today?
Thou art the potter.
While these are praying today, if you're here and you're interested in joining First Baptist Church and making this your church home, the requirements for church membership is you must be saved, born again by the Spirit of God. Have a clear testimony of your salvation. And then secondly, that you have followed the Lord in believer's baptism. And based on those two things, we would welcome you into the membership of First Baptist Church, where you can serve the Lord and be faithful to Him. And if you desire to unite with the church, I'd be glad to visit with you either right now at the invitation or any time through the week, or let me know or call or whatever. I'd be glad to sit down and talk with you about church membership. You need to find a church home that you can serve in and grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And if you'll grow in Him, He'll bless and use your life in a powerful way. And all God's people said today, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Good to see you in church today. Just a few announcements that we do want to share with you and kind of pass along. This morning is March 31st, and we kicked off a Sunday school campaign this morning in Sunday school. So we encourage you, if you're not in Sunday school, to find a Sunday school class and get engaged, get involved with that. Sunday school's at 9:30 each and every week here in the church, and there are many classes and different age groups that you can be a part of. We'd be glad to help direct you in the right direction. Along with that, you had a green card in your bulletin today. And if you'll notice that, it's just kind of along with the Sunday school campaign, this just kind of over the next 10 weeks kind of gives you a little bit of a schedule that we want to follow and to highlight a few things. But we do have one correction I need to make on here for you today, and then we'll reprint the cards. But one is we had the Continental Breakfast this morning. On April the 7th, we have a Spring Spiration here on Sunday night at 6 p.m. If you want to be a part of that, you can sign up in the foyer and be a part of that service. That's always a fun time. Brother Ron does a great job, and all the people that are a part of that. On April the 14th is Palm Sunday, and we will serve the Lord's Supper that morning. April the 21st is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and it's always great to be in church on the Lord's Day every Sunday, but something special about Easter that's just a highlight for the believer, I think. Now, here's where we want to make a change. I want to make a switch here from... Team Spirit is April the 28th. Now, if I were to say something in here about the NCAA tournament that's going on, I'd get people that were diehard Michigan fans, diehard Michigan State fans, diehard Ohio State fans. Where's Roslyn? There she is. Yeah. And or whatever your team is. So we just labeled a Sunday, just call it Team Spirit Sunday. So if you want to display or wear something, whatever, just displays your team spirit, you're welcome to do that. I promise you'll not be ostracized from the church or kicked out or anything like that. So even if you wear a Buckeye jersey or whatever you want to do, except Adam, he's wearing a cowboy, I'm sure, Dallas Cowboy, whatever. He's diehard. I think cowboy runs in your veins, doesn't it? And so I know, being from Texas. So that'll be Team Spirit Sunday. But then on May the 5th, we're going to switch two Sundays. We're going to do a flashback Sunday to the decade of the 60s, but we want to do it on the 19th. And the reason why I want to make a minor change there on that is Brother Ron's going to be, Ron and Debbie are going to be attending the 80th anniversary of the church where Bronson and Debbie are at down in Jacksonville. And I want to make sure he's here when we do a flashback Sunday. And when we did it on the 50s here a while back, Brother Ron and many others did a great job with it that day. So just, we'll make the correction here. So the flashback Sunday, we're going to move it to May 19th. And then we took Western Worship Sunday, and we're going to move that up to May 5th. So you say, well, what is Western Worship Sunday? I don't know. You know, we might have some cowboys in here if you have cowboy boots, cowboy hat. I don't know, a Western suit, or you can use your own imagination. If you want to ride your horse to church that day, that's fine. And you laugh at that, but I literally, when I pastored in South Dakota, had people rode their horse to church on Western Sunday. And did some other things. So, matter of fact, the first ever church activity that I went to when I started pastoring Eastside Baptist Church was a church rodeo, a full-blown church rodeo at one of the families in the church out at a farm. And we had like 300 people at this church rodeo. It's the first time I ever got bucked off of a horse really, really good. And so they got a good laugh out of that. So anyway, May the 5th, we will do Western Worship Sunday. And then on May the 12th is Mother's Day, and we've officially labeled that Hat Day. I had some ladies ask us here in the church, are we ever going to have a hat day? Can you wear a hat? I said, well, you can wear a hat any Sunday you want to church. But that's Mother's Day, so we thought we'd do it on Mother's Day, so you got enough notice. Ladies, if you want to get a hat, if you have a hat, or you want to wear a hat, whatever, that's Mother's Day. It's the day we recognize mothers. So we'll just call that on Mother's Day an opportunity to wear their hats. Then, if you will, May the 19th, we'll do the flashback to decade of the 60s. Now, by that meaning, we don't want you bringing any marijuana to church or, you know, any Vietnam protesting or, you know, the best thing for me that come out of the 60s is I got saved in the 60s. And so we all have memories. Some of you have memories. Some of you are in here saying, I have no clue what happened in the 60s. But, you know, here a while back we did the decade of the 50s. So you can kind of prepare yourself for that. If you need a little help, we have a book and some things that kind of, or you can Google it and see what went on in the 60s. So we'll do on that Sunday, May the 19th, a little bit of a flashback to the 60s. And I'm sure Ron will dig into the archives and come up with something. And with the music side of it, but it needs to be godly and in Christ Jesus and spirit, using spiritual disciplines. Amen? Amen. Amen. Yeah. So we'll just, you know, kind of a flashback to the 60s, and that's on the 19th. And then May the 26th is Memorial Day weekend. We'll do a red, white, and blue Sunday, and for Memorial Day. And then it all comes to a head on June the 2nd, Friend Day. So you might want to reach out and be thinking about people that you can get and lined up for Friend Day. That's a great day. Many people have gotten saved on Friend Day over the years, and you might have a friend, somebody that you can encourage and get in church. Might just be their day that they come to know Christ as their Savior. Just the other church tonight at 6 o'clock, Lorraine wanted me to mention, there is a widow's lunch. I don't think it's in the bulletin, but there's a widow's lunch this Thursday at 12:30 at Bob Evans and on Ford Road, correct? And that location. So she wanted me to announce that. So follow the bulletin on the other things that are going on. And I got a couple, two other quick announcements that I do need to make here. One is I need to make a couple recognitions. One is this winter, we had a pipe freeze over in the men's bathroom on the other side. And we're able to get that fixed. It was a sprinkler line that got fixed. We had to get a company come in. But I wanted to recognize three people that really helped on that bathroom project over there. One is Jim Monroe's plumber. Jim, why don't you stand up, would you? This man comes in and volunteers on a regular basis and helps us. And if we have a plumbing or something going on with that issue, he's the guy. Yeah, give him a hand. He's the guy we call. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. And so he and his son, Scott and Mike, they were up in the ceilings doing some work at one time there and that. And so, but they've been a big help on that project back there. And then there's two other guys that have been back there remodeling this, and they didn't know I was going to do this today. But Brother Adam, stand up back there, would you? Come on, you don't be bashful. Brother Adam C. and Brother Paul Tacy. Go ahead and stand up, Brother Paul. And I just want to say publicly thank you, Adam. Thank you very much. Thank you, Paul. And these guys have put in a lot of hours back there working on that. Basically, if the water flooded everything. We had to pull out all the old insulation, take down all the sheetrock. They went up in there and put all new insulation in, sprayed insulation in. They've checked all the pipes and lines up there and got that. So hopefully nothing ever freezes or breaks again. I can't imagine it would after what these guys have done. One day I got a video on my phone, and it was Paul Tacy, and he has this light, this like a miner's light on, and he's up in that ceiling surrounded by insulation. He's breathing heavy. It's like Pastor Henry has banished me to the ceiling of the men's bathroom, and I was tempted to get that and play that on the PowerPoint. Maybe I should hear one of these days, but it was pretty good. He says, please, please, whatever you do, bring water and bring food. And so I know what he was thinking about when he was up there, but I appreciate those guys. And by the way, they're all done, I believe. It looks great today, right, Brother Adam? And they're all done, so men, thank you very much. And yeah, all of you. So they are on the, done a great job with that. And I couldn't thank them enough. Another thing that was going on is we've got an older church van that the church has had. I think it's 17 or 19 years old. It's got 160 or 65,000 miles on it. And since we hired a new youth pastor, I think it's broken down on you probably, what, half a dozen times probably, and would leave him stranded, Brother Adam. And so the men and I talked in our deacons' meetings that, you know, we really need to start looking at a way to replace that van. And that. So Brother Ron Sanchek, God bless our deacons, and that found a van at Atchison Ford in Belleville. And it was 10 months old, it had 23,000 miles on it. And it's a 2018 Ford F-350. So we looked at it and went out to Belleville and looked at it. And so the plan was that we would go ahead and lock up the van. And then, you know, we don't want to go into debt for anything. So we wanted to raise the money and to pay that off. The van, we got it for $25,200, and it's in the bulletin, $25,250. I think the time we put the plate on and a couple, one other thing or whatever, it was around $25,500. But right about the time that we were doing that, we locked the van up through Ford Motor Credit. But the plan was that we were going to then raise the money and then pay that off. We wanted to lock the van up, and so these kids and teenagers and youth pastor and that wouldn't be stranded coming and going. So as soon as we started into that process, our furnace went down over the foyer. We have 17 furnaces in all the facilities here, and the one that heats the foyer went down. So that has been in the building for what, 23, 24 years. And so that unit went down and had to be replaced. So we had to hold off on the van and announcing that to the congregation, although many of you probably knew we already had the van in place, but we had to take care of the furnace project, and we did that. So that project came to $15,975. And the congregation was very gracious. We put out cards. They raised the money. The money came in very quickly for that. We paid cash for the furnace. That's all in place and doing well and paid for. And so what we wanted to do was here for April, May, June, July, August, September, a six-month period, is to lay out a program to pay for the van. Now, the van right now, we went ahead and run the paper through Ford Motor Credit. The payment's $635 a month. But if we pay that van off, we can save ourselves $4,000 worth of interest. And so what we want to do, the men and I, the deacons and I have talked about this, we wanted to lay out the cards on the table today. I think we had five cards at $1,000. I don't have those numbers in front of me now. So many cards at $750, so many cards at $500, so many cards at $250, and so many cards at $100, and you add them all up, and it comes to $25,250. With the idea that it would take 6 months, the congregation, we'd have 6 months to pray about it and then trust the Lord and see where, you know, we could get that paid off. So as you leave today, you'll see a table out there. It'll have 3x5 cards. That is the van project, to pay off the van. And so in the meantime, as the money comes in week by week, we'll take whatever comes in, pay that right off in the van. So the goal is by September, the van is free and clear and paid for. And then we're going to letter it. Pam, want to wave your hand over here where she works. They've been gracious to offer to letter the new church van for us. So here in April, we're going to do that. I think we just have to buy the lettering, and they're gracious enough to be able to do that. So pray about it. Just ask God what he'd have you to do. If you can't do anything, then that's between you and the Lord. We're not going to, you know, go around, and it's between strictly between you and the Lord and what you want to give towards the van. Whatever card you pick up, we're just asking that you've got over a six-month period. You can turn it in right away. You can take a card and pay so much a week, or take a card and pay so much a month, however you want to do it. Just use the envelope system. Put your number on there and put church van, and then whatever comes in, we'll report it in the bulletin on a weekly basis, so you can see what comes in until we hit our goal, the $25,250. So we're just, the church just really wants to be on a mission of what we do. We pay for it. We don't go into debt for anything else. This is short-term debt for about 6 months or whatever to get that taken care of in that. The van was there. I think Ron Sunchuk did a good job getting the lead on that, and we're able to get it locked up. And you say, well, you know, we could have raised the money first and then go shopping for a van. The van happened to hit. It was good. It was the right fit at the right price, and Atchison Ford did a good job. We worked through one of the salesmen that he's dealt with for a long time out there at the dealership. So again, just pray about that and ask the Lord what he'd have you to do, and make that a matter of prayer. Let's stand together. If you will, good to see you in church today. Remember, those of you that know Robbie Heathcott, and if you will, the family will be today at the funeral home there at Will's Funeral Home on 6 Mile Road from 2 o'clock to 7 o'clock. So pray for that family, if you would. So let's pray, and we'll be just, you got an announcement?
Yeah, can I make an announcement about the lock-in?
Yeah, come right ahead. Sure. Right here. She's going to give you one right there.
I don't think there's anything in the bulletin about it, but this Friday we're having another teen lock-in, April the 5th, from 9 o'clock that night till 8 the next morning. So if anyone would like to come out and help chaperone, they can. We're shooting to have 50 kids. Last time we had 27. I told the kids in the youth department, if they make it to 50 total teens, they can turn me into a human hot dog with ketchup and mustard and stuff like that out in the lawn. I told them that if they get 70 kids or more, I'll shave my head bald. So they're going to try to bring 70 kids, but we just ask for your prayers. And if you know any teenagers that would like to come to that, we would encourage them to come. So thank you.
You didn't know you were going to learn what a human hot dog is till you came to church today, right? And so you're going to cut your hair, or they're going to cut your hair? They are going to cut your hair. If they had 70 teenagers back there, I'd just say that's worth seeing. That would be good on YouTube. And so, all right. So that's this Friday night, right? For this Friday night. So pray for the teenagers. And by the way, the last time I had this, well, you had two kids get saved at that. Matter of fact, Ashlyn, didn't you get saved at the? Not that night. I was thinking. Okay. So anyway, as a result of that last one, two teenagers came to know the Lord. And so pray for that. Let's pray and we'll go home. Heavenly Father, God, we love you today. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Thank you for the music today. What a blessing and encouragement that always is as we come to worship you and to uplift the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, help us to be faithful to you. Look forward to the soon return of our Savior. And may we continue to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to realize that the work you're doing in our hearts and in our lives day to day is making us and molding us and shaping us into who you want us to be. And God, it's by your grace that we're able to do that, and we thank you for that. We do pray for the teenagers on the lock-in this coming week, that you'll have your hand upon that activity. God, we pray that many young people will come. They'll have a fun time, but most of all, as the gospel's given that night, we pray for lost teenagers that will open their heart and trust Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And so, God, thank you for being our God, and we do pray you'll be with the Heathcott family today and as they prepare for the burial tomorrow. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen.
Hey, one more.